con lại bạn làm vậy. A warm welcome, good evening. Let us begin with the invocation. Let's sit tall.
Recording in progress.
Arms in the chest. Yogena chittasya padena vacha manam sharirasya cha vaidyakena yopam karutam pravaram muni kalim pranjali rana dosmi avahu purusha taram shankha chakra Siddharinam Sahastra Shirasam Shvetam Pranamami Patanjalim Gurur Brahma Gurur Vishnu Gurur Devo Mahe Guru Sakshat Parabrahma Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namaha Let's bow down before Sage Patanjali, our beloved Guruji and Gitaji, on this auspicious day of Guru Purnima. Pranam to all our teachers present here to grace this occasion. I request you to move inside so that people can walk in and sit more towards the storeroom side, please. Shift, please shift inside, move inside. So let's begin today's program with a song, which is a traditional composition from Indian classical music, praising the Guru. Okay, the words are Bavare mat karo gumana, Guru sang rakho imana. Maybe most of you know. Yes.
Mere ghar nidar nire sa bavre mat kar humaan bavre mat kar huma ho imaan guru sang rakho imaan bavre mat kar gumaan bavre mat kar gumaan gun sagar guru mahan gun sagar guru mahan shat gun ke
So these words guide the student fellow to be loyal to the master and avoid any sort of pride while one is in a pursuit of knowledge. So for those who difficult to understand the language, here in this song, the guru is like an ocean or a repository full of treasures of truth and knowledge. And in that repository, the guru element itself is the essence, that itself is the prana. And the song indicates to the shishya that one must identify the value of being with our guru. Okay, let me share a story from the Upanishads. Once Brahma, the creator of the universe, announced that the self is sinless, ageless, and deathless one. It has no sorrow, no hunger, nor thirst. And the goal of all its desire is the truth. One should seek to know this self. This was announced by Brahma. Both the gods and the demons heard this announcement and thought, we must know this self and seek this knowledge that promises all the worlds. Hence, Indra, the king of gods, and Virochan, the leader of demons, both approached Brahma. Becoming a disciple, both requested him to impart this knowledge to them. And Brahma accepted them, asked them to stay with him for 32 years. At the end of this period, Brahma called both of them and said, the person visible to your eyes is the self. That is the immortal and fearless Atma. Go and see yourself in a pan of water and then tell me what you saw. Both said, we saw the self. We saw the self, our very image, entirely as we are, right till our hair and nails. Now Brahma said, go and decorate yourself and then look into the pan of water and tell me about your experience. To this, both observed themselves and said, we saw ourselves well-dressed, well-groomed, nicely adorned. Brahma said, very good. This is Atma. That is the immortal and fearless. Now, having confirmed that they have now known the true self, both Indra and Virochan returned satisfied in their hearts. Virochan went to the demons and taught them this knowledge by saying that this bodily self is all that we need to know and serve and glorify. This is the supreme knowledge by which one obtains the world and hereafter. However, Indra realized that something is wrong with what he has just now learnt about the Atma. He felt uneasy. He thought to himself that as the water reflects a well-adorned body, so does it reflect a blind man if he is blind, a defective man if he is defective. So if a reflection of a living body, how then could the body or its reflection be said to be the deathless Atma? He went back to Brahma and said, Lord, I see really nothing worthy in this body or in its reflection. Please give me the true knowledge about the Atma. Brahma asked Indra to stay for another 32 years. At the end of that period, Brahma called him and said, that which moves about in dreams is Atma. Indra seemed to be satisfied and made his way to the gods. But as he went along, doubt crept into his mind and he thought, how can the dream self be Atma? In dreams, we suffer. One is wounded. One weeps when afflicted. The fearless and sinless Atma cannot be subject to such happenings. This does not seem to be the truth. Even this time, something is wrong with what I have learnt. Prostrating himself before Brahma, Indra requests him to explain the truth of Atma, the truth of the self. as usual, Indra has to stay for another period of 32 years. And at the end of this period, Brahma said, the self who is fully pleased, is in a happy mood, in deep sleep, is the Atma. But this time Indra thought that in a dreamless sleep, the self is not conscious of its own existence. So how then can this self be the Atma? Again, he reports his difficulties to Brahma. This time Brahma was more pleased with Indra and told him to spend another 5 years with him. And after that, Brahma revealed that part of the highest knowledge to Indra, for which he was ready at that point of time. That was the final repository of all existence. Now, when Indra went back to impart this knowledge to the gods, he had no doubt. The gods received the true knowledge of their self. And because Virochan, remember, who was satisfied with the knowledge of the body as self, the demons even today take the body as self. Now, a short version of this story is placed in the book Light on Yoga by Guruji, written 59 years back. It lies between two important sections of Shishya Guru and Sadhana. And that's why I shared this story with you all today. So Guruji points out how Indra's memory was developed by the devotion to the subject taught and a feeling of oneness with the Guru. Whereas Virochan, having no devotion either for the subject or for the preceptor, remained an intellectual giant. So Guruji insists that a Shishya should have above all, he should treasure love, moderation, and humility towards the subject of knowledge. Often as students, we learn so many new concepts day after day, year after year. A larger part of our lives is driven so much by technology, social media, visual media, that we almost tend to watch, clarify, refine what we have learned. And all this is possible by being in the company of wise people, saintly people. I hope you all agree. I now request Prashantji to address us today. Thank you.
Namaskar, all of you. Well, today, being Guru Purnima, obviously we are here to recognize Guruji's greatness and express our gratitudes. And prostrations to him. But what I'm going to do now is, you know, for all of us, for all of you, for all of us, Guruji was great for obvious reasons. Visible reasons and empirical experience. We saw the greatness, we felt the greatness, we experienced the greatness, and that is why we kept him where we have kept him. But on this day, I want to divulge the invisible greatness of Guruji. Many of you think Guruji was great because the whole world thought Guruji is great. Therefore, many of you of present generation think Guruji was great? Or many of you have experienced his greatness, those who had interface, interactions with him. So they also experienced the greatness, saw the greatness, and that is why he was great. But today is Guru Purnima. I am going to divulge the greatness that if I can venture to say you have seen, because it cannot be seen. And if something is not seen by anyone, you cannot be hearing about it. So that aspect of Guruji, which made him Guru, but for most of us, we called him Guru. We thought he is Guru. But the Gurutva is invisible. Gurutva is inexperienceable empirically. We say only experience. I have experienced. This is my experience. While in the realm of sutra, we have a convention of using a word called anubhuti. Anubhava and anubhuti. Anubhava is something tangible. It can be testified, it can be verified. But anubhuti is not of that kind. So his gurutva, I am afraid, most of you did not cite, although you spent some years with him. Although some of you spent decades with him. At the most, what was appealing his students was that he was practicing relentlessly, practicing regularly. So there are different kinds of practices. Regularly irregular. So some of them realized that Guruji was regularly in his practice. And that's why they held him in high esteem. What they saw was what he practiced. So practice is something which can be visual object. It can be empirical object for you to sense, feel, get confirmed about, get convinced about. Yes, he is practicing, he was practicing. So when it came to English language, Guruji always said, yes, I practice. I am a student of yoga and I practice. Understand the practice of a student and the practice of a master. These are two different practices. Practice. English, that poverty. Into asthma. It doesn't. He said it. Thank you. Abhyas. connotation in common in Rao. In music, somebody, a musician, is said to be doing riyaz. Practice is to repeat. Satata vartanam is the one of the connotation of practice. Guruji was not repeating Sheshasana for 80 years. Guruji was not repeating Trikonasana for 80 years. But yet, we use the English language. Unfortunately, in our era, that's the first language of the world, which is utterly poor language for Adhyatma, not otherwise. It's a very rich language. So nobody was able to and sadhana. Sadhana is not for someone to see. People came and watched his practice and got overwhelmed. And they thought he is practicing. But what he was doing internally was not an object for them to cite, nor extrapolate, nor infer. Unless you are a student of yoga, you will not be able to infer what he might be doing internally. If you do not know the dynamics of yoga, culture of yoga, ethos of yoga, philosophy of yoga, you cannot deduce what internally he was doing. We all got overwhelmed by what was overt. Overt was what he did for your eyes to see. And therefore many of, more often we hear about hearing is believing. I'm sorry, seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. But on the flip side of it, the seeing is misguiding. If you see, you are prone to misunderstand. So on one side, seeing is believing. The whole world has gone obsessed with this. Seeing is believing, seeing is believing, seeing is believing. I must see and therefore I will believe. I have seen, therefore I believe. To believe, I must see. What can you see? What can you see is very gross. If you see through the eyes, it is visually gross. If you see through your mind, again it is gross. So seeing is always pertaining to roop, form, whether it is for the eyes or for the mind. Guruji was not practicing yoga for 80-85 years. He was not practicing relentlessly, regularly. He was not practicing. What we could not be citing was sadhana. What is the difference between practice and sadhana? Now these are words from two different languages. Yet we are confused with it. There is no word for sadhana in English. There is no word for sadhana in any other language except Sanskrit and the vernacular. Now at our stage, the practice is very important. We are neophytes. We are beginners. So practice is not to be looked down upon. But then he did not have to practice for 80-85 years. Maybe he practiced for some years of formative times. But to throughout the life he was not practicing. While most of his students have great accolades for him, that he was every day practicing relentlessly, every day practicing without a miss. The praise is always good, but the praise should be in right place for right reason. All praises are not to be merited. So he got lots of praise which did not score merit, because the praise was for wrong reason or the reason that was not right. So we all have to practice yoga. What is this practice? You will always practice what you like. You will not practice what you don't like. You will always practice what you think it is good for you. Whether it is good for you is a different thing. But the moment you think it is good for me, you will practice. Why will you practice something when you see, when you identify this is not good for me? Why the hell will you practice? So practice depends upon these ulterior motives. You should like it, or you should deem that it is good for you. Whether it is good for you is immaterial, but you have to deem that it is good for you, then you will practice. Say for instance, if you don't like music, why will you practice music? If you don't like painting and drawing, why will you practice painting and drawing? You have to like it. Unless you like it, you won't practice. You should certainly not dislike it. If you dislike it, you will not practice. If you practice, you will give up. So understand the dynamics of practice. You must like it and not like it. That first. Second one, you have to identify or deem that it is good for me, then you will practice. If you deem that it is not good for me, why will I practice? So the understand the position of the I, pronoun I, it should either like it or it should deem that it is good for me. Many times the things we don't like, but we see that it is good and therefore we practice. Say for instance, pale bhaji, leaf vegetables. Palkachi bhaji, spinach. Ata tyana palkachi bhaji vanle, the palak hai, guardian. You may not like it, but you will eat it. You don't have to like it to be eating it. You might eat it regularly, once in 2 days, once in 3 days, once in a week. पण त्याला मराठीमध्ये पालक म्हटलेलं आहे. पालक बऱ्याच लोकांना आवडत नाही. After particular age, you don't like the guardian around you. हे त्याला पालकाची भाजी का म्हटलंय मला कळत नाहीये. चांगली आहे, आरोग्याला चांगली आहे. What you call spinach in English. Very few people have fallen in love with spinach compared to how many people have fallen in love with onion, garlic, potato. Many people have fallen in love with it, but very few people have fallen in love with what is called as pale bhaji, leafed vegetables. Pale bhaji avadnare loka tura viray. आवडीली पालेभाजी खाणारे कोणी नाहीत, पण पेढे, बर्फी, चिवडा, भेळ, पाणीपुरी आवडीली खाणारे लोक आहेत. पॉइंट इज, इफ यू सी डीम दॅट इट इज गुड, यू विल प्रॅक्टिस. नाऊ हू डीम्स दिस likes and dislikes, it is pronoun I. It is pronoun I. Which is a major alien of classical yoga. The pronoun I is a major alien. So when you are all beginners, we must like yoga. Why will you practice? So if we are in like a childish phase of our life, when we commence our yoga, you might be adult, you might be even old person, you might be senior citizen. But if you start your yoga, you are like a child. And you are childish. You must like it. If you don't like it, why the hell will you practice? Or you have to deem that it is good for you. If you deem it is not good for you, why the hell will you practice? So practice requires this motivation, and we require the motivations. We require even the allurements. Then only we will practice. So this is the fate of we people, that yoga should be alluring, it should be allurement to us, or we must like it, or we must deem that it is good, then perhaps we will practice. But Guruji doing for 80 years, he did not depend upon likes and dislikes. They were set aside. In yoga, first thing is you have to set aside your likes and dislikes. Don't be slaves of your likes and dislikes. Usually we mortals are slaves of likes and dislikes. Now when he practiced yoga for so many years, he was not a slave of likes and dislikes. So most of us say, if you are practicing, why do you practice? Oh, I love it. I love yoga and I practice. I like yoga, I practice. So if you are practicing because you love and like, it should be deduced it is not yoga. It should be deduced that it is not yoga. If you love and therefore you are relentlessly doing it, sincerely doing it. So most of us, our case is, we love yoga, therefore we do it. We like yoga, therefore we do it. We see that it is good for us, therefore we do it. Now this is antithesis of yoga. Because these likes and dislikes must be set aside. Now Guruji, after his sadhana, they were not at all interfering. He did not do Shivshasana because he liked Shivshasana. He did not do Vrishchikasana for 70 years because he liked, loved Vrishchikasana. That is how we require motivations. So the practice, understand, practice is of paramount importance for all of us. We must repeat. If we are learning, we must repeat. That's called Satata Vartanam. It has to be constant repetition of it every day, maybe even twice a day or thrice a day, or at least every day. Satata Vartanam is one of the meaning of practice. Now, if you have learned it, what is the next step? You have to polish it. So again, you require to practice. Just because you are learned, you can't say, now I don't have to practice, I've learned it. You'll have to polish it, you have to refine it. And you have to see, come to a condition that you have pocketed it. Anytime, anywhere, you will be able to do it. So that also requires satata vartanam. So understand the importance of the practice in the sense satata vartanam with regards to ourselves. Guruji was doing yoga abhyas. Abhyas has another meaning, which is study. Abhyas has a technical meaning in Yoga Sutras. Tatra stito yatna abhyasaha. A only effort to be steady the mind, be calm the mind is abhyas. The point is, none of us qualify to do sadhana. However, it implies that we should know sadhana, because Guruji was doing sadhana. If you want to appreciate Guruji for right reason, you should know that he was doing sadhana. You should know what is sadhana, and then identify that he was not practicing, he was doing sadhana, and that is why there should be accolades given to him. Not because why you give accolades to him. It's not a right reason. Your accolades are right. If I call you that you're a good person for a wrong reason, will you tolerate it? Will you like it? So if I say you are a good person, I must substantiate it with the right reason as to why I say you are a good person. So even if you have praise, accolades for him, you must have it for right reason. Anyway, abhyasa, which is our domain of operations, it all depends upon our likes. I must like asana pranayama, I will do it. Or I must deem that it's good for me, I will do it. It requires a motivating factor. So I like it is a motivation. It is good for me is a motivation. Do you mean to say that Guruji lifelong depended upon motivation? About practice, another thing. When you are practicing something, you once in a while want a break. You once in a while want a break. Even if you are in practice of something, a stage comes maybe once in a week, once in a fortnight, once in a month, once in 3 months, once in 6 months, once in a year, you will look for a break. Otherwise, our motivation doesn't get pumped up. Now, I've been watching students coming here for last 50 years plus. Come and practice. I see that they're more enthused to practice on Monday because Saturday, Sunday is break. Because they have taken a break on Saturday, Sunday, they have great fervor to come here and do it on Monday. So after break, motivation gets popped up. And that's why here and there we try to take a break. So we are more fresh to embark upon after a break. So break is not just break. Break gives you breakthrough. The break is not just break. The break gives you breakthrough. And that's why I've seen most of the students of the institute, they are more fervor, more enthusiasm. They don't want to miss on Monday because they have taken a break on Saturday, Sunday. This is present time culture, Saturday, Sunday holiday. This is our time culture, Saturday, Sunday holiday. What is holiday? Make merry. What is weekend? What is holiday? Licentiate. Be licentiate and then be disciplined on Monday. So our discipline is always, it is interspersed with something that is called as break and which is actually licentiate behavior. I was many times tempted to ask these students who came here on Monday, spirited, motivated, enthused to do the practice. I was many times felt like putting a question, what did you do yesterday? But I didn't want to embarrass them. Because I can imagine what they do on weekends. they don't want to divulge how merrily they spent Saturday and merrily they spent Sunday, how they were licentiate on Saturdays and Sundays, what nonsense they entertained on Saturdays and Sundays. So they are not asked that question. I felt like asking a question. Which is light on yoga, because it was meant for beginners who could start learning from light on yoga book itself. He advocated that last day, Sunday, take a break. Because if you take a break, you commence on the next day with greater agog, greater fervor. Greater fervor means greater motivation. So it's a practice here and now. Now and then leads a break. So if you are experienced that you have breaks in your practices, then it is practice. Then you find excuses, family commitments, personal commitments, social commitments. These are all excuses. Guruji also had a family. Not just a family, family of six children. None of the parents have experience today of having six children. He was a family man. But his yoga was uninterrupted because he was not practicing. It is sadhana. He was in sadhana. Sadhana is invisible aspect. You don't have to depend on motivation. You don't need ulterior motives that it is good for me, therefore I do it. You don't have to entertain the likes or obsessions or fascinations. So check yourself. If you practice yoga, do you not practice with fascination? You must be fascinated. On a day you don't have fascination, you try to find an excuse. Not doing today's practice. So, the practice mode is walking on a street with full of banana skin. So, if the road is full of banana skins, you are prone to slip and fall. And therefore, the practice, you will often have these pitfalls. Because you depend upon ulterior motives, likes. Identify it is good. The I is a tricky entity in us. What you liked in childhood, maybe you dislike in adulthood. What you disliked in childhood, you start liking in adulthood. It can happen. It's a very, very crazy entity in us. Never to entertain the pronoun I. Never go by the dictates of pronoun I. We all do that in our formative periods. It is allowed in formative periods. Therefore, we will have to do practice. Practice and learn. Practice and refine. Practice and get some mastery over it. That so there are some people, you ask them any time to do shirshasana, they will do it. So suppose I call Raya, do shirshasana, they will do it. I wake up in the at night at 12 o'clock and I say do shirshasana, they will do it. Because some aspect of the posture has been attained, and therefore they can do anytime, anywhere. So that condition has to come. If you have learned something, it should come handy, and therefore you have to practice. So our precept is that you also practice. Guruji was doing sadhana. It was invisible to anyone. No one had the scanning eyes, scanning mind, scanning intelligence to really sight the invisible. Now you can't decide what sadhana you will do. You can decide on what practice you will do. I will do head balance today, I will do forward bends today, I will do back bends today, I will do twistings today. So you can decide and do it. Sadhana is not your priority, diktat. You can't decide what sadhana you will do. Now, why this word is typical in our ethos? In any other vocation, you have to practice. You are a carpenter, you have to practice. If you are a painter, you have to practice. If you are in academics, you have to practice. Practice mathematics, practice texts. So you have to repeatedly study them. Any vocation, you have to practice. Suppose a medical practitioner, for any reason, some reason, has not practiced at all for 6-8 months. Many things are rusted. But a medical practitioner doesn't do sadhana. There is no sadhana in medical profession. There is no sadhana in carpentry. There is no sadhana in painting. There are few endeavors where there is sadhana. That's why there is no word for that in English. If you are a sportsman, you don't have to do sadhana. You have to practice. There is no sadhana for a sportsman. There is no sadhana for even a professional sportsman. Even a tennis Grand Prix, it doesn't have to have sadhana, he has to only practice. Where does the sadhana come? Sadhana comes in adhyatma. Sadhana comes in samadhi. Subjects which are based on our ethos, adhyatmic ethos, dharma sadhana. సంగీత సాధన, మంత్ర సాధన, జప సాధన, ధర్మ సాధన, బికాస్ దే ట్రాన్సెండ్ ద మండేన్ ఫ్రేమ్ వర్క్. సో ద సాధన ఈజ్ ఓన్లీ ఇన్ స్పిరిచువల్ రెల్మ్. వాట్ యు కాల్ టుడే స్పిరిచువల్, ద సాధన ఈజ్ ఓన్లీ అవైలబుల్ దేర్. If you are a carpenter, you don't have to do carpentry sadhana. If you are a mason, you don't have to do mason sadhana. If you are a plumber, you don't have to do plumber sadhana. There is no sadhana there. Sadhana doesn't come in all vocations, all professions. It's just an exception. Listen to this. When the carpentry can be sadhana, I recall very fresh event. All of you know about it. Jagannath Puri Ratha Yatra, which was very recent. Puri Ratha Yatra. So the chariot of Ratha Yatra has to be prepared every year new. They can't use the old chariot year after year after year, decade after decade after decade. It has to be done every year. It has to be engineered, constituted, assembled. Now, a carpentry who is engaged in constructing the chariot of Ratha Yatra Jagannath Puri, it can be sadhana. Because they observe certain things. They do Jagannath Seva. They don't hire carpenters from here and there. They have certain observances to be embarking upon the daily work of doing the chariot, completing chariot in whatever 2 or 3 weeks. It's a dedication. There is adhyatma. All carpenters don't have Adhyatma. But just as an exception, I told you, Jagannath Puri, they had to get the wood. Every year they had to procure the wood. There is a prescribed way to procure the wood. And then they have to carve out a chariot out of it. They can't use one chariot for years and years and years, decades and decades and decades. So, that is Adhyatma. Jagannath Puri carpenters have Adhyatma in their carpentry, then there is sadhana. The point is that sadhana is only possible in certain realms. Jnana sadhana, dharma sadhana, mantra sadhana, yoga sadhana, sangeet sadhana. Again, I would go to nuances. Sura sadhana, swara sadhana, sangeet sadhana, ya kota parak hai. But I don't have to explain it to you now. Sangeet sadhana is sadhana. Swara sadhana is not sadhana. Because there can be no adhyatma. The top class musicians, they always say, don't look into my private life. Don't peep into my private life. Their private life is awesome, awful. Their private life is awful. Therefore, it is concealed. Sahasa, surat budalela manus, swarat budalela manus, दारूतही बुडलेला असतो, व्यसनात बुडलेला असतो. आणि त्यामुळे प्रतिज्ञश जे गायक ते मायस्ट्रोस, देअर पर्सनल लाईफ, इट इज बेटर यू डोंट साइट इट. इट इज बेटर दॅट यू डोंट पीप इन टू इट. इट इज बेटर दॅट इट इज नॉट रिव्हील टू यू. देअरफॉर म्युझिक इज नॉट साधना. Just to give you a little example, Tansen. Tansen was a maestro 400 years back. So all of you heard about Tansen. But what he did was not sadhana. His aim was to impress the emperor, impress the court, and get applauded. So once Akbar asks him, if you are such a great musician, I want to once hear your guru. So can you arrange to have your guru here? I want to see how your guru must be great, greater than you. So I want to taste him. So Tansen tells him, you can't get him here. Nor can you go to him and give an order that please sing for me. He won't sing for you. There's only one way out, is take a trial, try to be around his hermit, and if he is singing, you can hear. You can't make him sing, you can't tell him to sing. He will not sing for you. Why? So the Tansen, Mia Tansen was merely Tansen. If you know what is Tan in Sangeet music, he was only Tansen. His guru was Hari Das. He was Das of Hari. So he would only sing for Hari. So Tansen tells his emperor, Badshah, I sing for your appeasement. While he sings in servitude of Hari, and therefore is Haridas. So Haridas was in sadhana. Tansen was not in Sangeet sadhana. He was going for laukik. Name, fame, recognition, money, wealth, glory. I had sometimes said in one of my talks, Tansen was a major culprit in Indian music. Who spoiled Indian music? It is Tansen. And therefore these musicians, like Tansen or any maestro, they, when the people are hearing, they become sattvic. But the artist himself is never sattvic. He is rajasic. Because he is trying to impress. So the audience can get sattvic bliss. But the singer won't get sattvic bliss. That's a curse. So the singer doesn't have exuberance of sattva guna, but the audience will have exuberance of sattva guna because they hear it while the singer sings it. Anyway, sadhana is something. Then who tells you what to do sadhana? What is sadhana? No one tells you. Who tells you is the tradition, parampara, shastra. So if you look into Shastra, the Shastra will tell you what is sadhana. You can't decide what will be your sadhana. You can decide on what is your practice, what will be your practice. The practice is ego-based, ego-rooted, ego-stemmed. It is stemming from ego. Therefore you can decide, I will practice this, I will practice that, this I will practice today, I will practice that tomorrow. It is needed for you and me in formative period. But Guruji was not in formative period for 80 years. He was doing sadhana. The sadhana is enjoined by parampara. You don't decide what should be sadhana. The parampara enjoins what is sadhana. The text, traditional text, tells you what is sadhana. You don't have to like it to be doing sadhana. As a matter of fact, by the time you come for sadhana, your likes and dislikes will be kept at bay. I want to tell all those who are trying to practice along with Guruji. Guruji was not fascinated to do Shirshasana, but students in front of him were fascinated to do Shirshasana in front of him. They did with fascination. So you have lost the basic fabric. So therefore you can't be in sadhana. He could be in sadhana. He is not fascinated by his Shirshasana. He is not fascinated by his Kapotasana, Vrishikasana. But those who practice along with him, they were fascinated to do Vrishikasana, Kapotasana, Shirshasana. The fascination is antithesis of yoga, and that is a spoiler whereby we disqualify for sadhana. Another dimension to sadhana. If I ask you, why do you practice your yoga? You say, I practice yoga for my good here and now. Is that right? I practice my yoga for here and now. How many of you are practicing yoga for next life? Although we know that we are going to be there in next life, life after life, we are going to be there, but none of us practices for next life. Sadhana includes that. You don't bother about what are you going to be in your next life. And therefore you don't do anything in yoga for next life. Or subsequent lives. Sadhana circumscribes it. You do not know what is your next life. Sadhana will take care of what your next life will be. None of us know what is our next life. We might be pavement dwellers, or we might be affluent people staying in a palace. Of 5,000 rooms. So we do not know about our next life. And therefore, we have no way to do anything for next life. So question yourself, how many of you are doing yoga for your next life? We cannot do it. Nor Guruji could do it. Sadhana took care of that. That's about character, signature condition of sadhana. It will take care. You can't take care. You cannot be taking care. It will take care of your existence posterior to this life. How many of you are doing yoga for your previous life? Are we doing anything for our previous life? We do not know what was our previous life. Where were we in our previous life? Nobody knows. Guruji even did not know. Nobody knows. Sadhana knows it. Sadhana will tackle. So it will set right to your past life activities. That's called karma management. Karma management is not only you set right your karmas in the present life. Karma management includes your existence after this life, before this life. So the prarabdha cannot in karma, if you know that, sanchita karma, kriyamana karma, prarabdha karma. So sadhana takes care of what you don't have vision of. You have no clue about it. None of us have clue where were we in last life. Was I a burglar? Was I a murderer? Was I an emperor? Was I a businessman? What was I? None of us know it. And therefore there is no way to tackle it, handle it, manage it. Adhyatma and the sadhana manages that. It doesn't make you know what you were in life, previous life and previous lives. It will not beforehand tell you what will you be in a prospective life, next life and following life. We don't have to know it. We cannot know it. However, sadhana circumscribes it, it handles it. And therefore, Shastra says the sadhana is classified as something that is sthula sharira sadhana, sukshma sharira sadhana, karana sharira sadhana. Now you'll have to have some inquiry with regards to what is sthula shariram, sukshma shariram, karana shariram. In my book on discourses of yoga, I have explained that, described that. The gross body, subtle body, causal body. So sadhana will circumscribe what you cannot see. None of us can see as mortals. But the sadhana, in its aspect of sthula sharira sadhana, sukshma sharira sadhana, and karana sharira sadhana, will accomplish that purpose. So that is what the sadhana is described. It is ordained by Shastras. If at all you qualify to do sadhana, you must do sadhana. And sadhana means you will take care of these things. So sometimes I said it's like all of you are traveled by air. So you know your cabin, you have your seat in cabin and you sit there. You know the cockpit where the pilot and co-pilot occupy two seats and they fly the aircraft. Now if you are driving a car, you require to look through the windscreen. If you cannot and do not look through the windscreen, you know what is the consequence. So you should look through the windscreen. You have to look through the back image mirror, then you will drive safely. But if you do not look into that mirror at all, do not look into the windscreen, what is the consequence of your driving? But the pilot, he has windscreen. He doesn't look through the windows. When does he look through the windows? When he is taxiing, when he is taking off, when he is landing, then he looks through windscreen. Otherwise, at 40,000 feet altitude, at 9,000 plus kilometers per hour, there is nothing that he can be sighting through the windows. He is sighting everything through the communication that he gets from ATC and everything through the monitors in front of him. Like a car driver will need clear windscreen. Pilot doesn't need clear windscreen unless he is landing or taking off or taxiing. While he is flying, he doesn't look through. Does he not fly to destination? From here, if you want to go to Deccan Gemkhana, you must have vision, eyes, and then you will reach Deccan Gemkhana. Pilot doesn't see the destination, yet he reaches the destination. So if a Mumbai-New York flight, he doesn't see through the glasses in front of him, yet he reaches you to destination. Because there is a system behind him which helps him reach the destination and take the passengers to destination. He doesn't have to see that he is going to New York. He doesn't look into the screen, windscreen at all for those 11,000 kilometers. 12,000 kilometers, he doesn't look through at all. He only uses it while he is landing in New York. Or while in Mumbai, he is taxiing and going to take off, he needs window, not otherwise. So sadhana has a system. You don't have to see your previous lives, subsequent lives. You have a system which takes you through your navigation. So you must look into shastras. What is the idea of sadhana, concept of sadhana, purpose of sadhana? So it is sthula sukshma karana shariram. And that's why it is circumscribed. Your retrospective existence and a prospective existence. So by adhyatma sadhana, you will manage your previous life's activities as well. Although you may not be able to handle the prarabdha karma bhoga devakshaya. That's not the case of sanchita. Sanchita can be banished. So sadhana will handle your previous existence manifestation karmas. Maybe bad karmas, illicit karmas, wicked karmas, beshaming karmas. It will take care. So also your karmas in prospective lives. No, none of us know what we are going to do in next life. In next life, I might be a burglar. In my next life, I can be a terrorist. In next life, I can be a beggar. In next life, I can be administrator. I can be a prime minister. No one knows what is next life. So therefore, we cannot do anything for our next life. Therefore, none of us believe yoga is for next life. We all believe yoga is for now, here. Because we have no clue to what is sadhana. Sadhana will take care of all that. Point is, sadhana is not decided by sadhaka. Sadhak doesn't decide sadhana. Sadhana is ordained by the shastras and by the parampara. So point is, it is not our problem now. We don't have to understand what is sadhana. A child which is going to pre-nursery, nursery and kindergarten doesn't have to bother about Stanford, Harvard, universities, post-graduation centers, doctoral centers, And therefore, we wrote a Don't Bother About It. Maybe for 4 and 5 year or 8 and 10 year old child, the parents bother about it. Child doesn't bother about it. Where is my academy after my schooling? The parents have lots of headache. They invite headache because they have lots of dreams about their children. My child should be rank student. My child should be gem of a student and a rank student. So parents have lots of expectations. That's why they create problems for themselves. Children have no parent. No problem. A child of 10th standard doesn't know what is Stanford for and what is Harvard for, what is Cambridge, Oxford for. It doesn't bother about university. What are the courses available, postdoctoral studies. One child which has not passed 10th standard, why will it bother about postdoctoral studies? So also we don't have to bother about sadhana. But finally, let me tell you, we should have knowledge about the concept, idea of sadhana. It is not something to do and accomplish. Sadhana is to be known. So also the case of yoga. Don't just be so practical minded. I will learn what I can be getting. We are all getters of yoga, takers of yoga, which I often said in my classes. We want to get out of yoga, take out of yoga. We are not givers of yoga. We don't give any damn thing to it. We want to take it. Health, name, fame, status, money. We want to get from yoga. But however, we must know what is the idea, concept, because yoga sadhana entails, sadhana at some level. Guruji was in sadhana, which was invisible. What he did internally, nobody could cite it. Whether his shirshasana was Prithvi shirshasana or Akash shirshasana, no damn idea to anyone who is watching. But he could do Prithvi Shirshasana, Aap Shirshasana, Te Shirshasana, Vayu Shirshasana, Akash Shirshasana, Apanik Shirshasana, Udanik Shirshasana, Pranik Shirshasana, Samanik Shirshasana. It is not something that you can be citing. The internal dynamics were invisible, and yet all of us praised him. Guruji was great. We praised for what was apparent, what was overt, and not what was covert. So sadhana will tell you what are invisible things that someone like Guruji did. I don't do myself, I'm not qualified, but I am qualified to know what Guruji was doing internally. What was his, not only sthula sharir sadhana, but sthula sharir karana sharir sadhana. The more intriguing it becomes, simple is the formula. So I will make a final statement there. Suppose you want to work on your sukshma shariram, called astral body, subtle body, transmigrating body, sukshma shariram, linga shariram. We have no idea what it is. There are 17 aspects of sukshma shariram. But what do you need to do for that? Which is invisible. Pilot drives to destination without sighting the destination. A car driver, bus driver cannot be driving his vehicle without sighting. He sights constantly. Pilot can, he doesn't look at the windscreen at all, yet he goes to destination. So it becomes simpler to do sukshma sharir sadhana. How many of you have idea about his shirshasana when it was for sukshma shariram? Sukshma sharir sadhana, only there is one way that you have to tackle. Japa. Japa sadhana. Japa sadhana will take care of sukshma sharir, whatever it needs. It's hunger, thirst, it's medicine, it's activity, it's rest, it's sleep. Everything will be taken care of, just as Sthula Sharira requires all that. Activity to rest. Food to fasting is required by gross Sthula Sharira. Sometimes you have to often take food, sometimes even fast. So you have to do so many things. Bathroom is required, toilet is required, kitchen is required, a job and work is required. You have to earn money for Sthula Sharira. But for Sukshma Sharira, the mystic poets have beautifully said, you don't have to do anything, only one thing. Pranavadi, Pavitra Mantra Japa. This is what Vyasa says in his commentary. That's all you have to do. It will give bathing to it. It will give food to it. It will give rest to it. It will give activity to it. It will give medicine to it. You don't have to do 1,000 things for 1,000 needs. So it becomes simpler. Nobody knows what was his Sukshma Sharir Sadhana. He did mantras during his asanas. His asanas were samantraka. Nobody knows. So sadhana will, the concept and idea of sadhana are somewhere minded. It is not meant for me in lifetime. Why will I do it? Why will I know it? You want to know what you can do or what you should do? No. You don't want to know that you don't want to know. So at some stage it entails that you must understand the concept, idea, culture, ethos, purpose of sadhana. Although we may not be doing for lifetime, yet we must know it. Therefore I say in my classes, don't bother about what can you do in yoga. Yoga is not a doing endeavor. Yoga is to know the embodiment. It is to know the yoga. You will know yoga through your doings, by knowings. So we all believe yoga has to be done. Do you do yoga? I do yoga. Everyone should do yoga. Nobody says everyone should know yoga. You should know yoga. Nobody says. I should know yoga, I don't say. I should do yoga, I say. You should do yoga, I say. I don't say you should know yoga. We believe that it is something to know. It is something to do and do and do and do, ultimately die. So with due apologies to those who have family name, kar, mar, kar. This is what our life is. Story of our life is kar, mar, kar. With due apologies to those who have that surname. Apan sagle karbarkar zalos. Kara mara kara, kara mara kara, kara mara kara, kara mara kara. Got into the wheel. Sadhana will release you from that wheel. Basically, sadhana, sadhak doesn't decide. Practice, sadhak decides. I will practice this today. I will practice that tomorrow. I won't practice this today. I will not practice that tomorrow. So it is all your whims, personal whims. Sadhana is enjoined by tradition. Sadhana is enjoined by shastras, shastriya parampara, and Baukhika Parampara, Guru Shishya Parampara. But none of you are interested in knowing what is sadhana. That's why nobody comes and asks me what is sadhana. Everyone wants to know what should I practice, how much should I practice. Anyway, the more I say, much remains to be said. So there is no point in pointing and continuing endlessly. The more I say, much remains to be said. So let me stop here. Thanks for your patience. The point is, we should revere Guruji for what was invisible about him. None of you can ever think of What is invisible about him? I am trying to give you some sight. What is invisible? He was doing sadhana. He was doing abhyasa. He was not doing sarav. He was not doing riyas. He was not practicing in the sense of repetition, repetition, repetition to learn, repetition, repetition, repetition to refine. So if you all praise him for what you know the greatness about, none of us revere him for what we do not know about him. Sometimes we should know what we do not know about him. Then our accolades, our praise, our eulogy will be worthwhile. Anyway, I pulled down the shutters. Namaskar, thanks for your patience. Okay, this is the latest Yoga Rahasya, Guru Purnima Yoga Rahasya. So this will be available in the office. So you are supposed to know the Yoga Rahasya. Nobody wants to know Rahasya of Yoga, but practice Yoga and keep fit. Keep fit and continue a long sense of life for another lease of 10 years or 20 years if you can get. Anyway, final namaskar. Thank you very much.
Kunal, book is available. Yes, the copy of this book is available downstairs. We are all, I think we can depart now, but there's a small announcement. Of course, snacks will be served downstairs. That's the Guru Purnima Prasad. We are looking for volunteers who do artwork. Okay, so can they report at the office, Sonia? Yeah? Anybody who's interested in volunteering for artwork, if you've seen the poster downstairs, this was done by one of the students. So, yeah? Yeah, I think we can conclude now. Thank you all for joining us. We can prostrate before the Paduka and here before Lord Patanjali. Yeah, there's a request. Wear your footwear and then come here near the house for the prasad.